are live. Welcome to the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast. I'm your host, Chris Kirkwood, screen name Kirk D's, here with my two boys per usual. One from Florida right now, Brett Hartfield, Killaby2482. And then Canada's number one DFS player, the man, the myth, the legend, Tyler Tamboline, toe tag and Tambo. How's it going, fellas? Thanksgiving week. Thanksgiving was yesterday. I had a decent, kind of a quiet holiday, but how was your Thanksgiving? I know it's huge in Canada, right, Tambo?
Yeah, it's huge. For DFS players, maybe. I was into that. I actually had to work yesterday, so I missed it. Didn't get to see much of it. And then my beloved Ravens had to go get the vid and take off the slate. Now we don't even see them on the Week 12 slate till Tuesday. So just brutal, man. I didn't get nothing out of it, and I didn't get to cook a turkey or do none of the fun stuff I'm sure you guys did. What about you, Brett, down in lovely Florida? We get to see your beach pics every day.
Yeah, man. Third week in Florida, so finally feel pretty chilled out here and getting some golf in. But yeah, yesterday we kind of just did the normal Thanksgiving. Turkey, gravy, all the good stuff. Cheesy mashed potatoes. Gotta have the cheesy mashed potatoes. Are you guys big pie guys? Pumpkin pie at all there, Kirkwood?
I'll eat some pumpkin pie. What about
you? I like pumpkin pie. I had some yesterday. Yeah.
So I'm a pie guy for sure. I actually, in Florida, what's really popular is key lime pie. That's either my number one or lemon meringue pie. So damn good. So
terrible.
It's great. Great to know.
Yeah. Those are my top two pies, but Thanksgiving, yeah, pumpkin pie for sure. So
yeah, yep. The holidays are here, Brett. Have you made a wish list? I have a feeling that.
The holidays
like
are
our
here,
sponsors.
Man. Yeah, yeah. Sponsor. So have you made your wish list yet? Our sponsor today has the number one wished for gift of the year, Manscaped, the best of men's below and above the belt grooming. Manscaped is here to ensure you're taking care of your manhood and your nose hairs with the new performance package. Ho, 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 fellas, naughty or nice, tis the season to perform.
I'm going to interrupt and say one quick thing here on this.
Okay.
First of all, I had the worst experience like ever the other day. Have you ever had like an just out of nowhere, it seems like this long ass ear hair?
I get one on my shoulders
like,
all the time.
It grew on my ear and I was just like, I pulled it immediately. And then I was just like marveled at like, how the hell did this thing get so long when I like stretched it out? And like, how long has it been there? Cause I've never noticed it.
Well, Kirkwood, you're in luck because the Manscaped Performance Package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle and makes for a perfect gift. So imagine opening an attractive box that says your balls will thank you with the most sought after gadgets and scent a person could find. Included in this new package is the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. Boom for you. Which is waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Look, guys, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff, Kirkwood. Why not use the best tools for the job here? This bundle includes the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, the best trimmer on the market for your balls, butt, and body. The dads can't stop talking about this. The teens secretly buy this, and the women will love you for it. Tis the season to manscape, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, your friends, the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package. Let's not forget their famous liquid formulation, the Crop Preserver, Ball Deodorant, and Crop Reviver, the Ball Toner, to maximize your ball hygiene routine. Get the Performance Package now and receive their two free gifts, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. The Performance Package is the best value that Manscaped has to offer and is hot off the shelves. Get 20% off free shipping with the code ROTO at manscaped.com. Thank you, Manscaped, for making our holes look sexy. Yikes.
Once again, that's 20% off and free shipping with the code ROTO at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code ROTO. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds like Brett and make Santa proud. So thank you to our sponsor. Let's now get into week 12. First of all, how was week 11 for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, so we kind of have like a friendly competition where we try and get in to the same tournament. And Kirkwood almost took that bad boy down. In fact, I think we were calling it that that he had it in his back pocket.
Yeah, you guys freaking mushed me. I was a lock to win it, actually.
Dude, Kirkwood is like, he believes in everything. Like, any little thing, he will believe in. So I think the situation was Kirkwood was down by, like, we'll say 2.4 points.
No, it was two points. And two I points. Had,
like 1.8 or something.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams and Nyheim
Hines.
Nyheim Hines. And I just needed two freaking points from either of them in overtime, and that MVS fumble just crushed it all. And not only that, I went down like 5K, like in my own personal stuff, because that was my, I had that lineup everywhere.
Sure.
That because of an Aaron Jones like run or something.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so my tournament team lineup, I just it was a single entry strategy where I throw this into like basically less than 500 people. I did the Washington Cincinnati stack. So unfortunately for me, my quarterback blew out his knee, and it was RIP for that whole lineup. So I had a good feeling about that setup, and you know, I still feel like it was the right type of play for that. In fact, I mean, Kirkwood, I don't know what you had. Did you have the Herbert lineup in that?
Yeah. Yep, and just okay. For people listening, basically what we've done is we've all decided to enter the $555 contest, the stiff arm on DraftKings.
Yep,
and we've made a bet with each other on who's going to do the best over the rest of the season. We won't discuss the terms, but and so Tambo,
Kirkwood's in the lead. Brett, let's just say that.
Yeah. Tambo, I got second. Basically my lineup, and I said everything on the show, I wrote it down from the show here, basically was that I liked Justin Herbert to Keenan Allen. I didn't care if it was going to be chalky or not. Bring it back with Denzel Mims. That's what I did. I also professed my like for a leverage play on Zeke. So I had Zeke when I also had Nyheim Hines and Devontae Adams, correlated from same game. And then I also had Justin Jefferson in there, who I also said on the show that I liked basically just correlating like massive amounts of lineups with Zeke and Justin Jefferson.
Did you have Delvin in that lineup?
No, I did not have Delvin.
Correct. So you would have leveraged the passing game for the Vikings, which we talked about, right? And then brought it back with Zeke.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I had Goddard, who got there luckily on like the very end of the game, and the Broncos D, which was nice. Yeah, that's what it was.
Tambo had a sweat too. Tambo, I think you were in the right around the top 10%, maybe 15%.
Yeah, I cashed and did okay. I was like about 20 points back or 25 points of Kirkwood, but I went more with just a, you know, these things, $500 buy-in, smaller field. I went more for like the hybrid cash lineup where I just took the best plays, some upside. The couple flips that I made was I got Chris Conley in there at 3,000 even. That didn't work out, but he was only 8% owned. And then everyone was against sort of Ballage, Duke Johnson. They were lesser owned in this tournament. So I tried to level up and go with Allen, McLaurin, Dalvin, get everybody in there and use Taysom to round it out. So 162-ish, and Kirkwood had 185-ish. And it was
And not only the overtime that killed me, but like the fact that Nyheim Hines had a touchdown that was called back on a stupid penalty.
Hey, notice how he only says what went wrong and not what went right. I mean, how many things
perfection.
Have to go right?
I expect perfection always. And like, so I remember when
he produces a top 1% lineup and it's like,
that one play cost me like 40 grand. I think
Tambo and I had a conversation too. Like, you just really have to make sure you're building the correct lineups for the actual contest. And that's all you can do. Right. And, Tambo was talking about in PJ how he's had, you know, plenty of near misses in the Millie Maker, right? And basically all as I said is like, hey, that's all you can really do. There's so many little things that end up getting you to the top, right? But just as long as you're building the correct lineup for that specific contest, obviously in a Millie Maker, you're going to have to take a lot more low owned shots. And I mean, Tambo can talk about PGA way more than I would ever be able to, but in NFL, my strategy is always based for sure, like on a DraftKings, like how big the amount of people are. I mean, Kirkwood, me and you are in basically every contest on Yahoo. So it's, a lot of times you're not having to build as many lineups as you would on a site like DraftKings, where you can have over 100,000 people in a contest. So,
well, the debate we had too, Kirkwood, you can chime in because you mentioned this before, and I know you max the $9 slant at least every week, sometimes the million.
Yeah, which I didn't last week. I was just lazy.
Oh, geez, I was going to say, but the thing you've mentioned this year is, and we kind of had this debate, was about double stacks, or if you want to say, actually, I should say triple stacks versus like just pair them up with one guy. So this lineup here, you just went with Allen, Mims, still put up 185 points and had room for more. And then we talked a little bit about like the $20 million maker, even the $9 slant, 65,000 or more players, where you have to get so many things right. You basically have to get every position the nuts, right, in order to get to the top of these things. And so what's your experience been with just going with one guy like this lineup for the 555 versus adding in Hunter Henry or someone as a third man in that stack? Because typically that's what you see out there winning these things. But at the same time, it's hard to get those all right. So you got to have some angles at it. So what are your thoughts there?
I've mentioned this on past shows that, so the way I've been playing this year has been more single stacks. Although it is pricing dependent, and I will, go for more than that, depending on the game environment and stuff. But I'm fully, my base of lineups will be single stacks. And then, but I'll just have everything else correlated, right? So you'll notice in that lineup that we were talking about, it was Herbert, Keenan Allen, bring back a Mims. Great. Then it was Elliott and Justin Jefferson. Those guys both correlate, right? Same game. Then it was Nyheim Hines, Devontae Adams. Those guys go correlated. And then the rest is fine. So I'm trying to like piece it together with as much correlation spots as I can. So it's usually at least minimum of two spots, but usually three spots is the way that I've been playing it. So like you get it that, you know, you're hoping for the Green Bay Colts game to go off and having the two right pieces in it. And you're hoping for you're getting the leverage on Dalvin Cook, and you're hoping that Justin Jefferson goes off in the passing game, which he did. And, you know, that Zeke has a good game on the other side. Right. So it's just, you're just trying to fill up as many correlated pieces as you can. That's my approach. But yeah, it all depends. I'd push it further too and do bigger stacks, but my base is usually one. But anyway, we got to figure out what we're going to do this week. So week 12, we've got, is it 12 games?
We lost a game. So we lost I guess we never really had that game. So it
looks to me like it's 12 games. So we're starting at we got some good total games. We got a bunch of injury news that we'll get into as well. But basically, as far as monster total games, at the very end of the slate, the 425 hammer is a good game. The Chiefs on the road to Tampa against Noodle Arm Brady, where the Chiefs are -3, 55.5 point total. Both of these are two passing offenses, right? Like, so there should be a lot of plays in this game. From a play standpoint, and just in a marquee matchup like that, like you could definitely see it shooting out. However, both teams do have good defenses as well. Now from there, we have the Raiders, who are 3-point favorites against the Falcons. Julio is potentially could miss this game again. We'll pull up the latest as we get into it, but yeah, he may be back as well. But anyway, this game has shootout potential. Todd Gurley's out in it, has been ruled out in it, which is kind of big news. But 54-point total there. Next highest is we got the game. You know I'm going to freaking be all in on again because this is what I do. It's Justin Herbert on the road with his Chargers against the Buffalo Bills. I'll have to check up some weather on there, but Bills -5.5 points, 53-point total. There's been Casey Hayward has been ruled out, which is a boost for the passing game for Buffalo. However, we do know that Josh Allen has performed much worse without John Brown, and John Brown will be missing this game. It is nice to know that Casey Hayward will be out on this one for the Chargers defense. Also, they're missing one of their run stuffers too. I think Melvin Ingram's out. Then we've got Carolina getting Teddy Bridgewater back, 3.5 point dog to Minnesota, who's at home with a 52-point total. We've Adam Thielen is looking like is going to be out of this game because of a positive COVID test. Did have a negative test following, but shouldn't be able to make it back on time. But I haven't heard definitively that he'll be out, but I think it's they're projecting that he's going to be out. Then we've got an interesting game, Pats at home against Kyler and the Cardinals. That one could be somewhat fun with two rushing quarterbacks at least. 49.5-point total there. Browns, Jags, we get a new quarterback for the Jags. We get the longest, he's got the longest neck range in the business, Glennon. And they are going to be 6-point dogs to Cleveland, the Browns, even though they're at home. But the total is going up, 49-point total. Tennessee plays the Colts again. Tennessee, and that game did pretty well the last time they played from a point perspective. But the Colts are 3.5-point favorites over the Titans, 51.5-point total. Then there's the Giants, Bengals with Joe Burrow being gone. And then we got Tua back in action against the Jets. That's about it. So what's the big picture looking like for you guys early?
Yeah, I just think like there's a lot of, I mean, there's not too many games, I guess, that really stand out, but there's more points on the board this week than there was last week. You kind of mentioned the hammer with the KC Tampa Bay. It's now bet up all the way to 55.5. And yeah, kind of interesting to see the Raiders Falcons go down to 53. Those are, you know, two pretty bad teams, bad defenses in Atlanta. I mean, that just feels like a great spot to invest in. Your Chargers seems like a great spot. I feel like there's a lot of different ways you can go here. A lot of unique game stacks. And I guess, you know, we'll just have to keep an eye on ownership. Obviously, the injury reports will be pretty big. I don't know if that 3-point decrease in the Atlanta game is because of Julio Jones likely not playing or what that would be. But obviously, there's some major injury news. You talked about Thielen. We might have Julio opening up some really good value wide receivers. Tambo, what are you seeing for week 12 here?
I'm seeing that it looks like I like a lot of the chalk and, you know, quarterbacks and stacks if you see it. But I think what I'll do is I'll balance it quite a bit here with some really disgusting plays and stacks. So I like Josh Allen. I like Mahomes like that, just using those games and those environments. So those stand out. But then Kirk would even mention like Mike Glennon. Like I'll play. I like the Cleveland-Jacksonville game. I like the Cincy Giants game. I think that's kind of ugly and you could go there. You know, it doesn't seem like many people are talking about Vegas and Atlanta besides this Julio injury popping up. So I think that's an obvious spot. And then probably the other one maybe would be the Saints and Denver, just because you got, you know, Taysom again and Drew Lock there. So I don't know. Basically I'm looking for those ugly games where you can use cheap quarterbacks and then get their stacks for cheap and fill your lineup out elsewhere. And then if they go off, you end up doing quite well on the slate. So, you know, I'm looking there beyond the chalk ones at the top.
All right, let's start it back at running back, and then we'll get into our quarterback plays and whatnot and stacks. But obviously, the guy who's going to be pretty popular for good reason, although he's mighty expensive, $9,500 again this week now, is Dalvin Cook. If Thielen's out, supposedly out on a team who loves as a run first offense anyways, I mean, Zimmer loves to run. Now they're missing, their number one wide receiver. Yeah. Jefferson is going to be chalk for sure, just because of he should get a monster target share of whatever passing they do, but this is a run first offense in a great matchup. Panthers 34th. First in run defense overall, 22nd in rushing against DVOA rushing, bottom 10 in rushing yards per carry, bottom 10 in rushing TDs allowed. So we know that you can run on Carolina. So that is probably going to be the path for the Vikings here. So he's going to be pretty chalky. Other than another guy that should be probably chalky-ish as James Robinson. This is my boy who I play religiously.
Your boy.
But 6,300 now with I don't know if this is an improvement, downgrade at quarterback. How can you get any worse than they were last week? But this dude is phenomenal. Like, this dude is good. All you got to do is watch the tape on this guy and watch him run. Like, he's busting off like 5-6 yards rushing plays against the Steelers, who are one of the top rushing defenses at will. He just hasn't gotten, you know, he's run badly from like touchdown perspective. Like, he's had a bunch of touchdowns called back by penalty, and he's just on a team that has a bad offense and bad game scripts. But with Chris Thompson over there, I mean, the workload on this guy is amazing. It was an awful matchup. They only scored 3 points last week. His quarterback was horrendous, turning the ball over every single time, but hopefully they're a little better and the matchup is a little bit better. And they're at home against Cleveland. So I certainly have love for James Robinson. Josh Jacobs as part of that marquee game, you know, a game that, you know, could be pretty good, you know, and especially that if Julio is out. I mean, Josh Jacobs, first of all, it's in a dome. Second of all, Jacobs, you know, plays very well when they have a lead, right? Like, that's when he does all his damage. So he's really game script dependent. I was really heavy on him last week. The problem was, is that, I mean, they love Devontae Booker for some reason. Mm-hmm. So he's
stealing,
which I never even thought that would be the case, but, I don't know, but because he could be so good in the passing game. They're just not utilizing him enough in the passing game. Only one target against the Chiefs. He should have had another rushing touchdown first and goal from the one, but they had a stupid false start penalty on Jason Witten, who then ended up getting the touchdown and catching it, which was tilting to me. But on the Yahoo slate, at least. But I certainly like him. Mike Davis is still in our lives. I mean, the guy has had a decent game, but like anybody can have a decent game against the Detroit Lions. We just saw on Thanksgiving, even Duke Johnson got there and had a really good game. But I mean, this guy has just been so poor except for his like beginning good start, but you know, should get a boost with his quarterback back, Teddy Bridgewater, now playing this week. So he's in play against Minnesota. Austin Eckler is potentially could be coming back this week. We'll see if like they give him a huge workload. I mean, he could be a phenomenal play against the Bills, who are just a team that, you know, that's a good game environment.
And great game.
Their defense has been a big letdown this season. They've been banged up too.
Balaj is questionable too.
Yep, and there's Derrick Henry, and then there's Wayne Gallman, who I've been hearing a lot of talk about. You know, he's 5K, Cincinnati. This should be a good game strip for the run game. You know, the Giants will run the ball. You know, Jason Garrett loves to be a run-first coach when they have the lead. There's nothing he wants to do and then just keep running the ball over and over again. Rain Gallman has produced, certainly lately, kind of surprisingly, you know, 4 good games against Philly, Tampa, Washington, Philly, all really tough run defenses to face, right? And he's looked good doing it. And now he gets a matchup where in a game that they should control from start to finish without Joe Burrow against the Bengals. So that's kind of the top range for me. I mean, I know Brian Hill is going to pick up a lot of steam now. I'm probably going to be auto chalk play because Gurley is out. But what are you guys thinking? How do you like any of the guys I mentioned so far?
Yeah, I think you're right there with Delvin. I mean, he's 9,500. He's getting to the point where C-Mac was last year at 10K, but it's a great matchup versus Carolina. In a spot, like you just said, Thielen's out. They lose Irv Smith also. So the one thing that Irv Smith's done all year is steal touchdowns. So now touchdown equity goes up with no Irv Smith there. I mean, he's in a great spot. So, but I think I'm on your boy 100% this week. James Robinson. I mean, it really sticks out. He gets a great matchup. I think the issue with James Robinson the last month is just the matchups. Coming off of, I mean, he got to go up against the Packers, right? Which I guess the matchups haven't been bad. It's the Steelers last week, right? And he still got plenty of work. He had 19 touches, but you just look at the volume and, you know, Jacksonville's a bad team, so you don't mind the volume coming through the pass game. So, yeah, home against Cleveland. Love him this week. And then it's getting close to December, boys. When do we start playing Derrick Henry? You know, it's like Tennessee always leans on Henry the last five, 6 weeks of the year. And then he just blows it up too, or at least last year in the playoffs. So, I mean, it's getting to that point where I'd rather have this game outside than Indianapolis, but I'm like, I want to get there before he gets too popular. And I think he's going to be a great tournament play. Currently at RG, I'm actually surprised percentage owned. I mean, obviously we have Dalvin Cook at 37% owned, but we have James Robinson all the way down to 15%. And to me, I think he's my second favorite play. So if that number somehow sticks at 15, which I don't think it will, I think it'll get up into the 20s. But like I said, that's kind of like the top tier for me. So Tambo, what are you looking at for, let's just say, the top like five guys price wise?
I'm just with you on Cook. Like you said, it's just part of the deal. It's the price. Like you said, it somehow could get better if Thielen, you know, Irv's out. Thielen's supposedly going to be out. So the situation there is one to monitor. But that's, you know, if you probably didn't think his situation could get any better. But with what they do already, to me, it just stands out even more. 9,500 is fine. Like, we were still playing CMC at 10K. Cook has had games like that, you know, plenty of times this year. They continue to roll him out. So I like that. I like your Henry call. Like the Jacobs call, you know, I don't know what we have him projected at for ownership just yet. I'll pull it up here. Is around 9%. So either way, he's going to come in lower. I definitely like that because, like I said, I think that's a game to attack and get after. It's Carr. It's Ryan. Like, it's not really good. You know, and Brian Hill's going to get stuff on the other side now with the Gurley news. So I know the Booker stuff is there that Kirkwood mentioned, but I still think we've seen him have some great games, and we like him in games when he's up. I think they could be up this game. I think Carr showed some stuff last week. I know it was still they took the L, but he still looked better and came around a little bit there. And then I think the ones that we didn't mention, I guess, is where we have to have this discussion a little bit, is obviously Robinson looks great, but you've got a couple things there. So I've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire right above him, tough matchup. But when we get to Mahomes and Kelsey as two of the highest owned plays as far as quarterbacks, tight ends go, or higher owned plays, I should say, I think that's leverage. I mean, he just had a great game for them. They should want to go back to him there. Could use him a little bit more in the pass game, maybe. We could see that. And then the bigger discussion, I think, is around Chubb and Hunt. So I'll flip it back maybe to you, Kirkwood, is, you know, I kind of like Hunt more than Chubb just for the savings. But Chubb is like kind of like Derrick Henry, really. He's cheaper, but he's just the same thing. He's had two back-to-back weeks with over 100 yards, couple huge rushes there last week. But in general, he's a guy that he's got to get it on the ground. Snap counts are split quite a bit, and I think we could see Hunt get used there, and he's a big savings down at, I think, what, 5,700. So what are your thoughts on these Cleveland guys on the other side of that game, 5,600 for Hunt?
Yeah, I like both. So, I mean, one is going to smash. Jacksonville is 30th DVOA versus the pass, 21st versus the run. They're bad. The thing to take away from that is that they're bad at both places. So this is going to be a game that's dictated based on Cleveland, right? And we know what Cleveland wants to do is they're a run first offense, especially now with having both of their stud backs there. So I expect a ton of work for each of them. They're splitting snaps, you know, right down the middle, it seems. So you get the passing game floor with Hunt, but Chubb is the guy that's, you know, he's getting all the carries from inside the 5 yard line, the goal line work. So I think there's room for both of them. I would probably lean Chubb because I just think that's the path of, I think they're going to have their way with this team. And so it just makes more sense for him, but I wouldn't be shocked either. I mean, they're both extremely talented. They're both basically splitting snaps. So I think they're both in play. Just Chubb would be my lean. I'm not sure how popular. I think he'll get some ownership for sure, but I don't think
Chubb's getting the ownership right now. That's why I asked. Like, if you look, it's, what is it, 5,600 versus 7,100? And then you also get
– both good.
I think you get like half the ownership and the savings is massive. So I'm kind of leaning towards Hunt because it sucks when he goes down on the one or something and then boom, in comes Chubb and takes that touchdown away. But Hunt is shifty enough. And like you said, the matchup is so good for both of them that I think down at that price point, floor ceiling, I'm liking a guy like Hunt a lot more to still get there. So,
but in a good thing, a good situation to look, I mean, Chubb just ran for over 115 yards or 114 yards against the Eagles, who are a good run stopping defense. He just didn't get any touchdowns, right?
Yeah. So there was an issue there too. So inside the five, they had five carries inside the five. Chubb had zero of them. Kareem Hunt had all five.
I thought that was different. What happened?
So what the coach said is that Nick Chubb had a contact lens issue. So I don't think we need to read into that. But yeah, Hunt got all the red zone carries, which was basically the exact opposite of when these two were going at it the first month. So if it was just a contact issue, I would say don't look into those inside the five numbers too much. But that was kind of alarming that he didn't get any red zone carries, or I should say inside the five carries.
Did you watch that?
Did I watch that?
Yeah.
No, I kind of like just grabbed it from stats. And then there was a story written about it with the coach talking about it. Actually, a reporter actually said, well, why did Kareem get the goal line carries? And then he specifically said that Chubb was having issues with his contact.
Every time they got in the within the five, there was a contact issue. Every single time. That's the worst excuse I've ever heard.
I mean, and so he was taking
I will out. Read into that some. That's interesting because, yeah, and I look back now too, even red zone carries, like eight of them went to Hunt, and he was still getting the work. Like I said, I just like the price, and I know he won't be his owned, and there's other guys there around Chubb. He's already pushing almost 20% on RG, and you've got Jacobs just above. You got Mike Davis. I like what Kirkwood said about Mike Davis right below there. I think that's a good call with getting Teddy back. So, yeah, no, I like some pivots there off of Chubb, and I already liked Hunt, so that solves it for me.
Who was the next one? Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Yeah, just as a pure leverage play. Like I said, good week last week, tough matchup, but guys have got there in tough matchups. It can happen. And I think, you know, the way he's used and possibilities, you know, in the game where they think they're going to be winning. I know Tampa could put up a fight, but, you know, Kansas City's got to get it rolling here. You know, the loss they had on the season was to the Raiders last week. They played them again, second of the division matchup. And, you know, they had to get there late to win by just four. You just got to feel like there's a big one coming here. And I think they're, you know, I don't think Tampa Bay is going to match up too well. I think it'll be good for, you know, game script and for fantasy, but I'm thinking overall the game script of Clyde Edwards-Helaire having a chance to get a bunch more carries is definitely in the mix there in the cards. So I like that for large field stuff when everyone's on Mahomes and Kelce, myself included, in other spots. And you can use them together too.
Yeah. And I would say, like, I'm on that side too. I feel like I've seen enough now with him and Le'Veon Bell to know that he's still the Kansas City's guy here. So I think a great leverage play in that game is to roll with a CEH where everybody's going to be all over the passing game here.
Yeah, Tyreek. We'll mention them all. Mark Robinson's going to come up, like everybody.
Yeah. Very similar to what we did with Delvin Cook last week. Delvin Cook was going to be super popular. Kirkwood, you used Jefferson to leverage that situation. I think this way, I mean, Tyreek and Kelce have come off of what, back-to-back monsters now? So everybody's going to be on them. And I mean, we know they want to pass the ball. So I think this week you the leverage spot is just to fade that and buy the CEH.
Only worry is, so like, you're not going to get a ton of production on Tampa on the ground. You're going to get it through like the passing game, which could work with him, right? Like, he's someone who should be, But also there's still that timeshare with like Bell get siphoning off some and Williams getting a lot of the passing work. So it's, I
it's think riskier it's for sure. Yeah. It's definitely risky, riskier. But there's other plays there. I just think, you know, one of the, like you could see a wheel route, right? Flip around for a guy like him, where Mahomes flicks it to him and then boom, he's in the house and everyone with Mahomes is happy, but all their Mahomes stacks are filled up with Kelce and with Hill and all these other guys, Robinson.
Watkins coming back.
Yeah, like just so much going on there. But anyone's going to be tough to predict within Kansas City's offense. That's the bottom line because they're so good.
Also, we know Kansas City scores touchdowns. High-value opportunities. He's gotten three targets within the 10. Le'Veon Bell, zero. He's gotten eight carries within the 5. Le'Veon Bell, zero. So he's the guy.
Well, he should get his chances is what I'm saying. And like you said, it's hard to get production on the ground. I don't expect him to go – you know, right out of the gate and bust out a 60-yard run. But if you've got him getting all those chances in the red zone or within the 5, he's definitely can get through there and get production, and that'll put up points on the board. And then it's really about that, but also about just look who he's around. James Robinson is going to be one of the highest owned on the slate once the numbers come in and finalize. I know he's showing like 15 right now. That's not going to be that way, I can tell you right now, once we get to Sunday.
All right, who else?
I'm kind of there with you with the Charger situation. Obviously we need more information here. But that Charger Buffalo game, I think, is very interesting. Non-divisional game. But Ballage is questionable right now. And then we have word that Eckler could play. I want to invest in this situation. It's just so cloudy right now. We probably don't need to make too many big judgments about it, but I want to get, either some Ballage or some Eckler, whatever the situation ends up being.
I'm with you there. I want Eckler to be out though.
I don't want Ballage. I want.
Wait, if you Eckler, guys got a price for Eckler?
If he's like 60, he's 60.
Whatever, he's not popping in mine.
If Eckler's back and like this word that he's all systems go, then I would have major interest here. But, like, to me, it's just – I just keep going back to my boy Herbert and Keenan.
Yeah. But, hey, so Eckler's been practicing for 2 weeks. He came out with a social media post about all those people that drafted me, get ready. And it, like, just showed him doing, like, wind sprints and stuff. So, I mean, I expect when he's ready to go that he's going to be 100% and he's going to be the lead dog. So
yeah, I want, that's why I want him out here, because Ballage, man, I don't know why you wouldn't want a piece. This is perfect. I think people are still going to want some Herbert numbers there. And if you look at last 2 weeks for Ballage, 16, 18 rush attempts, no TD. So get some TD. We got to get some positive regression, whatever you want to call it here. 9 and 6 targets, but no TD, caught 7 and 5 of them. And then you want to go to his red zone, 5 and 7 attempts, no TD. Like, they're going to score against Buffalo here. And I think that, you know, it's a good spot to get up in that game when everyone is going to be on Keenan Allen and other guys within that game. So I don't mind him for tournaments. I think he's a good play at 5,800. And it's kind of a dead zone here, right? Like, I don't see a lot of people going to anybody else around here. So what's he at now? RG's already got him at like 15%. That's interesting, too. So. I don't know, maybe he's a fish play, but I just like what I see, and I like that.
No, he's not. He's not a fish. I was like anti him last week too. So I'm like, I have a hard stance. Like I'm still going again. Like I'm just being stubborn, against him. But
what did he get for points? Like 14. If yesterday the flop lag on Adrian Peterson and Duke Johnson, both going off and having their games there after everyone was on them the week before, this would be the Ballage scenario there, because he didn't really come through last week. He put like mid-teens, but this would be the spot. So go ahead, sorry.
No, the usage is certainly has been there for sure.
I'll throw out another guy in the same price tag, and this is like the same spot where Kirkwood was invested in this game, but Jonathan Taylor at 5,900. Now, Jonathan Taylor did not get one touch in the whole first quarter. Second quarter, he started coming on. Then the third quarter, I know Kirkwood had he had Hines in that game. So anyways, there was a sense of confidence, I think, with the coaching staff and everything with Jonathan Taylor, especially in the second half. And I was just like, I don't know if Kirkwood's going to get there.
It was 100% this. It was the hot hand. So what did we say? Naheem Hines is going to get the going to be the lead back to start because he's been and it's the hot hand approach with the Colts, right? And Taylor was being phased out, so I fucking jam Hines in, right? Because I believe in Hines. I think he's good in the.
But have you guys heard the story? I don't want to cut you off, but have you heard the story where they the head coach does the first 20 plays, scripts the first 20 plays, gets the exact personnel that he wants in there on the first 20 plays, right? Taylor wasn't in on those first 20 plays. Then afterwards, the running backs coach takes over. This was an article I read probably 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw that.
Indianapolis.
So what it was is that Hines started out the game poorly, and then they went to Taylor, who started being – was running – had his, like, best, like, efficiency game, and he was the hot hand.
Yeah. So what I'm saying here, I think we're going to get a Jonathan Taylor for very low, like probably 2-5% ownership at a very similar price tag that we were just talking, 5,900 on DraftKings. I think I want in on this spot at home versus Tennessee. Tennessee's defense has just been brutal. We know what Indianapolis wants to do anyway. So I feel like I want to run with Taylor's hot hand here.
And what I'm saying to you is don't discount the fact like of Taylor performing poorly in the beginning of this game and then going back to Hines.
Yeah. I would say my ownership on Jonathan Taylor will be only in 1000 plus entries. So this is going to be more of a dart throw. I know it's going to bust in my face multiple times, but that's the type of game you want almost in that type of entry.
I like it, and he's cheap enough.
I don't mind. So. I mean, I'm a fan of him. It's just he really let
me down. We liked him on here a lot to start the season too. We expected his price to be a lot higher than it was by this time in the season, and he just hasn't come through. So let's hope that that was the case. I read the same article. Let's hope that the running backs coach said, "Look, see what he can do. Let's get him in the first 20 plays and try it out." But to Kirkwood's point, if it doesn't work out, but that's why we're using him in large field stuff. So yeah, I'm with it. I think it's a good play. And Ballage could still be ruled out for all we know. Eckler could be in, Eckler could be out, and Ballage ends up playing. There's a lot to work through there. Anything on the Cincinnati stuff, Kirkwood, for you with Mixon out, Geo questionable, like there's that in that game, the Gallman one you mentioned. And then go ahead.
So what happens to Geo now, right? Like, so without Burrow, first of all, what happens to this offense? Right.
Well,
it became terrible. But so now we have this offense that has gone from like at least being able to put up points on the comeback trail and like running a ton of plays and a ton of pass attempts to, they're not going to have, they're going to be
becomes Dallas in the pass game. Becomes Dallas 2.0.
And so what happens to Geo, who's most effective in the passing game? He gave way to Samaje Perine last week in a lot of work there. So, I mean, no, I don't want any piece of this backfield. I don't think.
Yeah. I think that's a good call. I was going to ask you too about your Tampa guys, if you see it going the other way, cause you were Fournette last week and you've been on Rojo in the past.
I'm just passing game now. And Brady sucks. So,
but you guys want to invest in Davis Maddox boy, Brian Hill?
Fuck, I mean, he's going to be a massive chalk.
We did this last year when he was massive chalk and what did he put up, like 3 points?
No clue.
No, I don't really love that. I mean, he's going to be in cash games and everywhere, but then what's the other guy's name there? Ito Smith, Quadri Olsen.
Judge Ito.
Yeah. Gosh, I don't really want to mess with it too, but it's a good spot, man. I think
you do is Gurley was known for touchdowns, right? So you're removing all of the touchdowns out of that backfield, right? The big thing is to know who gets these goal line carries. And that's the thing. I don't know right now, but you have a questionable Julio Jones. Man, if Julio's out, there's going to be so much opportunity for other people in this offense. So, and they're all dirt cheap outside of Ridley at 7,100. So, I mean, you got Gage, 4,800, Olamide, Zacchaeus at 38, Christian Blake at 3K. I think they're all in play if Julio's out. So, and
it was a year ago when the same situation happened. It was Hill and Quadre Olson. I had to look it up because I remembered this.
Yeah.
And everyone was on Hill, and then Olson got all the red zone carries, and Hill ended up busting hard, I believe. And it was like, he only had like 8 more carries than Olson, but then Olson was also getting all of the stuff at the goal line. So like everyone was just waiting for him to score. And yeah, Hill had 2 DK points. And what did Olsen have? Olsen had 0.9, but Olsen got 4 tries within the red zone. So neither of them are exciting to me, but if that goes the other way this time around, that's just interesting to know that's who they were using. And you mentioned Gurley being the touchdown guy. That would more so say it's likely that they're to use, if they go back to now, it's a year ago, things have changed. So I'm just saying that was just one time, but that's the sample size we have. 0 tries for Hill within the red zone.
So right. I got another guy who I'm a little bit biased about, but James White.
Right? I knew you were going to say James White. I was just going to say that.
Big snap increase, big target share increase last week.
Rex Burkhead
gone. So all they have now is Williams and Sony Michel. They aren't, we know that those guys aren't going to see the passing down work. Right. So like, correct. And so it's only James White now, which is a huge upgrade from, as opposed to Burkhead's cutting into that too. And, he's had a tough year at the loss of his father and all that stuff and everything, but like, starting to probably get in better football shape, Cam vultures off some stuff, but if we're talking about like cheap plays, we know that this guy can produce. Arizona up-tempo offense in a game that this game could be kind of fun.
Very fun. Break. I like it a lot.
Things break, right? It just seems like a much better play to me.
Look at Cam and the wide receivers too. I mean, Jacoby is now up to 5,300, but he busted, right? N'Keal Harry, 34. Yeah. Damir Bird, 4,100.
I mean, people, they didn't even look to Jacoby, but he was locked up with, is it Roby who was on him?
Yeah, Houston. Yep, Roby.
Yeah, but,
yeah. We've been talking about Bird all season on here, and he finally has the game on the
I was pissed too because it made too much sense.
Way too much sense.
When especially with Jacoby was, I think, the highest chalk as a wide receiver.
Oh, super chalk. Yeah, it was all over it. Yeah.
And shout out to ETR,
Not only that, I hated Duke Johnson in tournaments. And the secondary stack there was, I believe it was, Myers and you could get Myers for cheap and run it across from Duke. And if you had just went down to Bird, you would have had the money to get a much better running back there in that, little spot, and just had a way better lineup and just done so many lineups I had that got crushed by that little two-person stack.
No, but I 100% agree with Kirkwood here that James White is the beneficiary of no Burkhead. You kind of have Harris and Sony Michel in the same role. Looks like Harris has won that role. But then the pass receiving running back, which has always been super, super relevant in this offense. And that's James White 100%. And at 4,500, where the chalk is probably going to be the Atlanta running back. I mean, give me James White.
Sure it is. And then you even have people talking about Nyheim Hines again, who we mentioned. You got people talking about Frank Gore against Miami there. Like, I would not do that. So, I'm in on James White. I like that one quite a bit, actually.
All right. Just give me your final thoughts, you guys, on Mike Davis.
Campbell, go for it.
I was in. I like him. Like I said, I think the big thing is Teddy, right? The checkdowns. The matchup is fine, too. We saw, wasn't it Aaron Jones just destroy Minnesota that one game? So, I can't remember who it was that just took them apart, but it was for 3 touchdowns or something. I think it was Aaron Jones in the second matchup. Anyway, like you said, all that stuff, Teddy combined, the checkdowns, the fact that it's likely, other guys are going to be out with what's his name, CMC not well, extremely doubtful. They just don't expect him. I think they're just going to keep him out the rest of the year, to be honest, the way it seems now. So, yeah, I'm in at 6,900. And he's a great little pivot there in between Chubb and CEH, James Robinson. He's right in the middle. And I think he's got the same sort of ability and projection, ceiling, et cetera, to go with it. So I'm in at 6,900.
Did you guys touch on Wayne Gallman at all? I mean, obviously,
yeah,
we know the
Kirkwood did. Yeah. Okay. I like him. It's
yeah. I mean, we know the Cincinnati situation has turned its head. I mean, very similar to what happened with the Cowboys. So, I mean, the Giants are now touchdown point favorites. This guy's, I don't know. I mean, I feel like he's taken over this backfield, even though it's kind of been a weird spot. I mean, he's still getting the lion's share, but it is a three-way backfield with Alfred Morris and Deion Lewis. So,
This is Gallman's backfield. He's produced. He's had tough matchups. He's finally getting a good soft matchup in a game where they should easily control, which is what Garrett loves to do. Loves to just feed the run in those games, chew up clock. So Gallman is definitely a good play, in my opinion. Depending on how much owner, he'll get some ownership, but he won't get so much that where I won't like him.
Yeah, currently we have him at 17.3. I feel like that's pretty high. If he's that high, I probably
– They didn't have Brian Hill. They didn't have Brian Hill.
Yeah, he's not going to be – this is where I'm saying. Hill and him will get swapped and eat up a bunch of each other's. And, yeah, yep. Hill will for sure be higher owned, and Gallman will – nobody likes to play Gallman, and people are probably talking poorly about him for the most part just because the past numbers haven't been the best. But right, last couple of weeks, not bad. So, yeah, I like that one too.
Kirkwood, you didn't like touch on Derrick Henry at all, in or out as a tournament play?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always in.
And we didn't. Nobody said anything about Kamara. I mean, obviously, we saw what the situation was last week. Is this still a stay away spot for Kamara?
Are they even on the slate?
Yeah.
I got him at Denver. Yeah. It's,
oh, yeah, they're on the slate for sure. I like more of the passing game stuff there. I guess you don't want to.
He didn't get a target last week, right? Is that correct?
One target, no catches.
He didn't have a reception. I think it's his first game like ever without a reception or something.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. So Taysom,
if he doesn't have a pass game, you can't pay $8,200 for him.
And that was in a dome. Yeah, I know. But like, you know, maybe they change some stuff around, and I don't know. I mean, maybe there's GPP appeal, I guess. Yeah. The warning signs are there at this monster price. All right, let's move it on over to quarterback, speed things through a little bit. But for me, it's pretty simple. It's Josh Allen, it's Justin Herbert, and it's Patrick Mahomes. Those are my three. I'll take some stabs on I do like Teddy Bridgewater, I think, coming back here in this game, you know, with all his weapons. In the passing game. So I kind of like that. I mean, New England defense has been terrible. So Kyler should certainly be in play. Cam could, you know, I'm not opposed to a little bit of Cam, but those are my guys. I guess I'd be interested to hear your guys' thoughts on like Matt Ryan. I think a lot of that depends on if Julio, I mean, he plays much better. It's like the splits with Julio and no Julio are just ridiculous. You know, you would think with no Gurley would be more incentive for the passing game, but like you really want Julio in this game, then like Matt Ryan definitely is in play. But interested to hear your guys' thoughts.
Yeah, I think my top quarterback this week is Josh Allen, for the price, especially on DraftKings at 7,600. Just gonna like him quite a bit here. I think I will be under the field on Patrick Mahomes. Again, I just think a lot of people are going to go there just because the last 2 weeks they've been awesome. I mean, the Tyreek, the Kelsey stacks, the Mahomes has all worked, and I kind of just want to get off that. So, I kind of like the cheap areas though. Daniel Jones at 5,500 makes a lot of sense. Sterling Shepard. I really think the wide receivers in New York, like there's just a lot more clarity for me. Like you got Slayton and Shepard. Kind of want to stay away from Golden Tate. I don't even know if Golden Tate will be active. We'll see. He got in it with the coaches a couple weeks ago. Actually, I think his girlfriend slash fiance went off on Twitter, and then he got suspended. So I don't know, just a weird spot. So I think it's Slayton and Shepard, and versus this Cincinnati defensive backfield, I definitely want plenty of shares of those two guys, including Evan Engram. So yeah, I like Daniel Jones quite a bit. I'm having issues bringing it back, even though the DraftKings really did a great job of pricing down the wide receivers with their new quarterback situation. I mean, you have Tyler Boyd at 5K, T. Higgins at 47, and then A.J. Green at 36. I mean, I think they're all in play just due to the price, and I don't think they're going to garner a lot of ownership. And we've seen how athletic Higgins and Boyd are. So, like, I mean, Brandon Allen's just a guy, but – like, these wide receivers are not, and they're pretty elite. So I think all these wide receivers at 5K and under are a very great way to kind of do somewhat similar to what I did last week, and just do a cheap game stack, and then you can buy your elite guys. And these guys are going to be all low owned. So, yeah, I like that quite a bit. Tambo, what are you seeing?
A lot of the same. At the top, I don't think I can get there as like being way overweight on these guys, just because I want to play a bunch of the guys down below. But it's, you know, I'm not as big as you guys are on Herbert. Like I said, I kind of like the run game, and I know they can get it through the pass, but I was on Ballage if he plays. You know, Eckler, like you mentioned, you can definitely use them all, but I don't know. It feels like it's going to be a little bit more popular than I just go to Josh Allen there and just play that a bunch of ways. Patrick Mahomes, those two. Down from there, like I said, I like Kirk Cousins a little bit, just because now his options with, you know, if, especially if Thielen's out, like it sounds like he will be, then I really like that. And if everyone's on Cook, but you can still use him with Cook, right? They use Cook so often that everyone just says, oh, all they do is run and use the run game. They still use him for other plays in different ways. So, you know, I think you could see some checkdowns there and do that. I like the Atlanta LV game that I talked about with Ryan and Carr. And then I like the Giants and Cincy game that I mentioned earlier, which means Daniel Jones. Maybe the question I have is what you guys, if you're doing anything with these two at the bottom, Brandon Allen, the other side, not as excited, but Mike Glennon, I'm more interested in. And with Chark out today and how cheap his options are, man, you can make, and loving those running backs like Hunt and Chubb, who we talked about. Like, there's just so many ways you can go with that game. It's got a big total. It's two bad teams. I think I saw too that one of Cleveland's cornerbacks is out. Was it Ward? Might be out. I can't remember. You have to look it up and see. I don't have it in front of me. I'll find it before we go back. But Kirkwood, maybe talking about these guys at the bottom. Allen, Glennon, do anything with those guys in large field stuff?
Definitely. I mean, I just think this Cincy offense is going to be terrible. Especially with their offensive line, but
yeah, Ward's out. Sorry, that's my bad. So, and that's the side I like more. I do like Glennon more than Allen. And I think, you know, you guys just
not I got to cut the play, off, but though. I was just,
who is it? Who's the play? You tell us.
Just came to me. It's like DFS is easy, right? If you just think about it for a second. Last week, what was
you get
my
second
favorite?
Place in a tournament. DFS is easy.
I see the board easily now. It's a week. Two weeks
give
ago,
him the floor. He's been good on this.
I was on a downswing, and I couldn't. Life was just wasn't worth living anymore. And then I'm just saying it's just the ups and downs of DFS. It just all of a sudden now you're snapping your finger. You're seeing the board right. You know.
He's not a hitter, folks.
No, all because of Brandon Moreno. It all started the heater. But anyway, Tua. It's if Tua's healthy and back plays, what was the play last week? Justin Herbert, like, oh, is he gonna be too chuggy? Oh, like running game. Oh, like this is the Jets who are missing their starting three. To start off the season, they were already the worst secondary, projected to be the worst secondary. They are now no longer have even their top three starting corners. Their best one, Poole, was out last week. And it was like, okay, Justin Herbert time. They're going to rip against in the passing game against them. So, like, you've got depending on if Myles Gaskin is back, but he's probably not. They're probably not going to want to give him, like, monster workload if he is back. They're that other guy was just ruled out. I don't even remember. Ahmed. Amon, what was the guy?
I don't got it.
Yeah, 5100. The running back is, everyone says Ahmed, but there's no Ahmed. K. But yes, Ahmed. But go ahead.
He's out. But like, give me Tua to rack up some rushing production and to at least have a decent game here against this Jets. Actually, the potential to have a big game against the Jets and with some cheap receiver options and, like, you know, of course, Devontae. And if he isn't, he had a limited practice today, I guess, right? I would love to play Fitz if Tua was out. But you get that, you know, they benched him. You know, it was more just probably to get him to sharpen up a little bit, you know, to make him, you know, not feel complacent and, you know, heads into this dream matchup now.
I still want to sell big time Josh Allen here. You got the Chargers who are going to be without Casey Hayward. No Melvin Ingram. No Uchenna Nwosu. And then they do have... I mean, obviously they've been hurt with like some of their bigger studs, like the Boza, like throughout the year. But yeah, they get Chris Harris. Okay. So Chris Harris is coming off of IR, but he still remains questionable to man the slot. I don't know, man, this just feels like the Chargers back end is now hurt. Their front end has been hurt. One of the most injury riddled defenses all season. I think this is a total smash for Josh Allen at home. Like, I know the splits for Josh Allen have always been ridiculous. I guess I haven't really checked the splits this year that much with home and away, but my gosh, 7,600. I want all the Josh Allen, and that, you know, I'm going to have a huge high percentage across the industry. But yeah, like if I go cheap, I love that Daniel Jones situation in that game. But yeah, I don't think I need to keep my quarterback pool that crazy big. Tambo, are you thinking about rolling Taysom Hill this week again? 6,200. I think he was 4,800 last week. Where are you at with 6,200 Taysom?
Yeah, I'm going to have a sprinkle just because we're going to segue there in a second anyway. But Michael Thomas, 7,400. You already mentioned Kamara earlier, 8,200. Like, this is the lowest price you'll see those guys at, and it's obviously due to who their quarterback is, and I get it, but it would definitely be a spot, back to the original question on the pod here to Kirkwood, where I'll probably just roll Taysom with Michael Thomas and just run it back with, like, I guess we're waiting to see with Jerry Jeudy, but you could run Hamler, Tim Patrick, Noah Fant. There's a lot of options there that you could just run it back one time, and I could see this game having a little bit of appeal normally that just doesn't this week. So I want to get on it when others aren't. So I'll definitely do it. The price increase is substantial, but it was because, you know, the last week, it's just a sticker shock because of how cheap he was last week. But everyone knew he was way underpriced last week. So maybe it's not enough for what his floor and ceiling is at 6,200. So definitely some sprinkles for me in here is another guy. And that's it, man. Like, I don't really have any other guys that I love. So Kirkwood, if Tua's the magic play, was there anybody else that you were not mentioning earlier that you just kind of had in your sights?
No, I could care less about. I told you, it's Josh Allen, it's Herbert, and then everybody else.
So you curious, mentioned Kirkwood, Teddy a little bit earlier, though.
Oh, go ahead.
So two is my new one. And then, like, of course, I'll be interested in Kyler, Matt, Ryan, Cam a little bit, but, like, and Teddy Bridgewater.
So your team Cam over Taysom, right? Like, I feel very similar with those two, and I'd actually give the boost to Taysom.
I think Taysom's fine. Denver's a pretty decent defense. It's I don't expect this Saints offense to be clicking with Taysom in Denver. And I don't know. I mean, after his big week, I mean, he got the price hike. So, I mean, I'm not really that high on him this week.
Yeah, maybe games in Denver, not New Orleans. It would be a totally different situation if it was in New Orleans.
Yeah, ownership will be down for that reason. The other thing, too, and obviously you can play them together, but I much prefer your James White take and just playing him for that side of the game. Obviously, he pairs well with Cam. If you just want to run a single stack Cam to James White, you know, James White gets shifty on the ground, gets in, whatever. But I do like that side. I just like the run game there a little bit more and just keep it interesting. So we'll see. It's Kyler versus Cam. It should be a good game.
All right, boys, head over to wide receiver.
Yeah, let's go over to wide receiver. All right.
Tell me who you're putting Tua with first.
I mean,
of all,
Diggs, because... Diggs. I love Diggs. Always love Diggs. Keenan always loves. It's Devontae, right? Like
Devontae looked like a boss, man.
That's who you with Tua. Like, I mean, it's you're no longer like worried about anybody getting a clamp down against like the Jets defense.
But you got to feel pretty bad of how bad Tua looked last week, right? I mean, he obviously got yanked in that game because of just terrible play.
Yeah. But it's a great bounce back spot.
But do you need to gamble at the quarterback spot for a bounce back? You know, it's like,
yes, in GPP, in large field GPPs. That's why I said I got the play.
I
like don't undermine my
I'm throwing a contrarian viewpoint out here. All right, you looked like shit last week. All right,
yes, but that's the beauty of it. And he puts a little fire in him.
This is the best spot for a rookie who looked like crap last week. You get the Jets.
Justin Jefferson. Diggs. Diggs and Keenan Allen, chalk, great chalk. So, like, the thing with Diggs, right, like, so Casey Hayward's gone, right? So now what are we worried about? So they did get Chris Harris back, who's decent. He's always been their number two, but this is also his first game back. And this is
he might not be back yet, Kirkwood. He came off the IR, but.
So if he is back, I'm still not even, like, worried about it. I do wish like John Brown was playing in this game. But like they're a little bit more comfortable now with what Gabriel Davis or whatever, is that the guy's name? Who will step in with more experience now in the game. They're playing good ball and San Diego defense is bad. I mean, so this is San Diego defense. LA Chargers defense is bad. And now they don't have they don't have Hayward. Like he's been like their glue in the secondary. So like you have to like Diggs. You have to Keenan Allen's price is tough, but like it's just as simple. Like so the floor is monster with this guy.
You just keep playing him.
So it's you look at it. So he's now leading all receivers and targets. He's now leading all receivers and receptions. He's now top 7 or 8 in reception yards, but he's getting touchdowns. He's like scored in like how many games in a row now, finally. But like regardless, he's seeing a monster target share from a guy, north of 30%. He's second in the league in target share, only behind Davante Adams. With Herbert is a guy who loves to throw. So, I mean, that's just such an obvious stack. And so I don't worry about like that he's chalky. If I like it a lot and I think it's going to do well, I'm going to play it and I'm going to figure out ways how to make my lineup a little bit more unique around it, which is not hard to do. So, love that. Love those guys. Diggs right up there too. So like, who's second in the league in targets? Well, it's Stephon Diggs. With 102 targets and seeing a monster target share just right behind Keenan Allen in target share. So, like, these guys are clear wide receiver ones, like just as clear as day. The price does get a little bit scary on Keenan Allen. There is more room for failure. I mean, just look at his price, how it's gone up. We were getting him at 6,200 against the Jags, which is just, like, unbelievable. And then, now, 7,400 last week and – monster game 38, but now he's 8K. So now there's definitely fade, but he's definitely in a range where he can be faded. But like, and then you would want to like use like Mike Williams or someone. But I still think he does well. He just brings a monster floor and has been getting the end zone. Justin Jefferson is going to get a ton of love and ownership, but he's a beast, right? Like this guy's good. Now he's going to be like their number one apps. Locked in number one wide receiver because Thielen's gone and like Thielen gets such a huge red zone opportunities when they do pass and they can't rush it in with Dalvin. And you would think that's got to be Justin Jefferson now at this point. So love him. If Julio's in, I'm all about Julio if he's in.
I think he's a great tournament play if he goes. It's just, man, he looks so lame duck out there, man. Like,
he's just so good. Even when he does look like that, he's just catching. He'll catch like the 50-yard pass still. It's insane.
I just want him to run like 50 routes without getting hurt once. Just once.
So there was somebody else who, I mean, I don't
know. You still, yeah, keep going.
I mean, the obvious bring back in the for Tua, since now we mentioned, because we're the Tua Parker, but Denzel Mims has just been. So first of all, is Darnold going to be back?
I think so.
I think there's possibility that he is.
I'm almost positive he is.
Yeah, I got projections for both Darnold and Flacco, so I think they're expecting them to be back, or expecting Darnold to be back.
So I, you know, that'll be interesting to see if he clamps back on to Crowder, because they've gone away from Crowder. You know, it hasn't been the Crowder show since he's come back. Now it's been more of Perryman and Mims is just. Sure. I mean, the has been trending, you know, 8 targets now in back-to-back games. He was getting red zone looks the last game, which he, you know, they had a penalty on him in the end zone. But regardless, this he's an alpha.
Talent this, per dollar, he's the best. He's the best he's talent good. Per dollar he's, on he's the slate.
Dirt cheap. So like that. I mean, I love Tyreek Hill. People like always have that. You just look at Tyreek Hill. Nobody has brought the floor like Tyreek Hill has this season, and he's not like known as like that floor guy. But this has been like a passing. This is a passing offense. I've say that over and over again every single week. That's their identity. That's what they do. Nobody can stop Tyreek Hill. And you know, 14 reception targets, 18 targets the last 2 weeks, and like he's just had monster yardage games. He's definitely a threat to score, whether it be by like one of their little like gadget plays or whatnot. But like, man, he's had one dud all season long. So now Sammy Watkins is back. So he's an interesting game to a person to like in this game too, as well. I think the offense plays better overall with Watkins back. So I like him, but I don't know. Calvin Ridley, obviously, if Julio's out, I mean, but you don't need me to tell you that. It's just kind of easy. I don't know. What are you guys thinking?
Yeah. I think up near the top, a guy like Justin Jefferson sticks out the most for me, just like how talented the kid is. And then the injuries that Minnesota, or I should say COVID, that Minnesota is dealing with should alleviate. I mean, the focus should be on him passing. So at 6,300, I think he's a slam dunk. He's cheap across the industry. So another COVID spot that opens up some great value in a guy that I've always like liked, just hasn't gotten a lot of routes, is Andy Isabella at 3K. And that's a great bring back if you're doing like cam stacks. I mean, that game is just so easy to stack price-wise all over the place. So, I mean, outside of DeAndre Hopkins at 8,100, there's just so much to love. And Isabella should be running the same routes that Fitzy ran. So, I like him quite a bit at min price. I mean, you're going to get a guy like Denzel Mims that's for sure going to be popular for what he did last week. If Darnold does play, you're right, new situation with quarterback, that could be interesting. And then, like I said, all the Cincinnati wide receivers, dirt cheap. So I think the Giants-Bengals stack makes a ton of sense just for the talent level that both Higgins and Boyd have. So I'm going to definitely hit up that quite a bit. Tambo, what are you seeing as an overview for wide receivers?
Mostly what you guys said at the top, I think. Man, I just saw that ownership projection. I was looking at something else for an ownership projection. It's not what I like to see. So, but yeah, you know, Keenan Allen is 8K. You know, it's a solid price, but that's like kind of part of the deal with me not loving Herbert is because I think that's where people go. Not as many people are going to be on DeAndre Hopkins. Tyreek Hill never gets the love, even though people are going to play him, but it just never seems to come out in ownership. And then it may show right now, but then you've got, you know, Stephon Diggs is going to eat some up. So, you know, I already mentioned Michael Thomas there, but The Diggs one is the big one. Kirkwood hit it enough. I don't need to kill it, but I just think that, you know, people will still continue to talk about things like matchup. He's just he's so good. His route running is just so incredible, and the fact that he can get open at any time. So probably really good chalk with Stephon Diggs. If that fails, then so be it. There is some pivots there. I think the interesting pivots would be Gabriel Davis, who you mentioned, Beasley. Yeah, that's right.
The thing is that Beasley's going to get kind of chalky. So it's like, if it's a chalky Beasley, do we really want to go there?
Well, and he's in the slot with potential Chris Harris.
Because right? he got 31 fantasy points last game against Arizona that night. So he's not going to be like that secret play anymore. He's also produced very strongly, though, in his defense to play him in games that John Brown has not been in.
I think he got the 100-yard bonus in all of them or something, but I do know that. But to Brett's point just there now, and that's the thing, is I think he's starting to get a little steam in ownership right now. And if Chris Harris plays, that would actually be the reverse. That was kind of the reason that Beasley would have been the nice pivot and the fill-in.
Dude, Gabriel Davis is 3K?
I want to go all outside for sure all day. Go Gabriel
Bang,
Davis.
That's the play right there. Bang!
Yeah, so I do like that quite a bit, actually.
All right. I think, I don't know. I don't want to get in much involvement in this Giants passing game, but like, I know Brett said
really?
Shepard.
Yeah.
Like, I just think this, they're going to run it. But like Darius Slayton would be the guy that I would probably gravitate towards too.
I think all three guys are in great spots for the Giants. Both wide receivers and then the tight end.
So that's a good segue to over to tight end. I'll tell you who I'm not playing, unless you guys like wanted to throw. I think we got to speed this show along. Is there anyone that like you're dying to like mention off a wide receiver?
I'll throw my mix there with Robbie Anderson. You mentioned Teddy. I kind of like that spot. I like Robert Woods. Because last week, it looks like – but that's the ownership I was pissed off about, because I thought everyone would go back to Kupp because Kupp had like 100 yards in the first half. But then actually Robert Woods still ended up beating him for the game again. I was beating that drum last week, almost had a nice showdown takedown, and that didn't happen. So
they finally went against the run. They're finally passing more with in Goff in a spot that looked like a trouble spot. So Bobby Trees, as I call him, is definitely 5,800. That looks nice.
Yeah, a couple of the Denver guys, a couple of the Jacksonville guys just don't want to rush it. But like I said, we have went a little while here. But the, you know, Keelan Cole, LaVisca, if he plays, they're both super cheap down there. Some other pivots in that range. I mentioned Hamler and Patrick earlier. Those guys, if Jerry Jeudy has any reason not to play, we'll see. He's been questionable all week. And then the one guy I do want to mention, though, is T.Y. Hilton. 3,900, no TDs on the season. I'm going to predict the TD, at least one. And the 100-yard bonus here in this matchup. I think Pittman got them last game. They're going to focus on the running game. I just think this is a spot where he can get loose. We like him at home. This is a good matchup where no one's going to be talking about him. $3,900. I think he's got an opportunity here. And it should be, you know, second of a division matchup. They saw Pittman get them. I think they're going to go back and everyone's going to look at either not playing this game at all or going to the running game. And at $3,900, I'm definitely going to play some TY in my tournament stacks.
Yep, and the only other game that I'll highlight with wide receivers is the Carolina-Minnesota game. You want exposure versus these Minnesota cornerbacks. Oh. They do not bring pressure. I know Kirkwood brought up Teddy Bridgewater. Again, similar situation with Curtis Samuel, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore. We have no C-Max, so they will be a little bit more heavily used in the offense. I always try and fade this spot when C-Max comes back. I think Carolina and Minnesota stacks a 100% play.
Tambo forgot to mention his Chad Beebe play.
I tried to fit it in when you were talking about Jefferson. Chad Beebe, man, he comes in. You know what's going to happen. Everyone's on Cook. Everyone's on Jefferson. Everyone thinks they've got it leveraged the way they want it, and it's going to be Rudolph and Beebe getting a touchdown
and
piece.
And it's Wes Welker clone Chad Beebe.
4.73, 40-yard dash. Let's do this. Let's do this.
Yeah. All right, Chad Beebe-Dola over there, man. Little Wes Welker, Danny Amendola twin. So yep. We'll go with him.
So it's I was saying the one guy I'm not going to be playing, as we segue over, is I'm not going to play Evan Engram this week, even though I usually play this guy religiously. I just don't feel – I feel like there's just not going to be enough resistance on this Bengals offense. I think the Giants D is decent enough to really control this game. So I just don't want to invest much in, as Brett would say, in Evan Engram. But, like, we got to talk with two guys at the top who are going to get, you know – it's potentially a double tight end week here with, you know, two wide receiver ones here. Travis Kelce, a man amongst men who actually the
a man Buffer, amongst men. That got me good.
The man amongst boys. Men.
The man amongst men.
No, he's the man amongst men. He's the man amongst men. Not a man amongst men.
I got you. I love it. That's a good one.
Travis Kelce, 7K, wide receiver one. Man, three monster games in a row. Bucks 27th DVOA versus tight end position. They struggle over the middle of the field. That's the where you beat them. Travis Kelce should be able to eat in this one. Darren Waller. So basically, let's just talk about the way I'll just look at this. Tight ends. Well, who's leading in the all tight ends and targets? It's Travis Kelce at 89. Who's number two? Darren Waller, 84. Who's next? Evan Engram all the way back down to 67. Hunter Henry. So there's like such Kelce and Waller are in a tier of their own. Kelce is really a tier of his own just because of the red zone usage and just the production. But as far as like targets and team market share of passing, Darren Waller is right there. So like these guys are two clear wide receiver ones. We get to play the tight end position. Of course, we have to pay for it this week, but both of them are definitely in play. Austin Hooper is like guy that keeps getting forgotten about, but like he's running the routes. And I think there's big game there potential, but the problem is that there, we know the identity here for is the run game with these two stud backs that Cleveland has. But I am interested in Hooper. Hunter Henry, I guess, like, I'm not really excited about it. I just, I feel like I want to get away from this mid range of kind of overpriced, not quite reliable enough tight ends. I either want to get up to Waller, Kelce, or I just want to go down and take some shots with, like, I don't know. I mean, what is there to go down to be honest with you?
Well, I like Fant if Judy's out. I like Hayden Hurst on the other side of that Raiders game. I like Hooper, who you mentioned, with everybody on the running backs. I think those are all viable options. Rudolph with Irv.
Rudolph.
You know, there's a lot of guys, actually, that you can go down to, I think. And what do you think the total ownership is going to be on Kelce and Waller? Like, they're going to – like, isn't every lineup in large field stuff just paying up for tight end? Because there's enough value elsewhere, so they're just going to have one of those two no matter what?
They might have both.
Or both. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I think that there could be, like,
I think that will drive up price at different price points, right? Like, I know Kirkwood wasn't a fan of Evan Engram at 4,500, but, like, even, like, a Hayden Hurst, who's got a questionable tag, but at 3,900, I think these different price points will catch some ownership.
Henry at 48. Could be a Jasicki with my Tua.
Double stack Tua. Get Jasicki in there with Parker.
I think my favorite guy, again, I know I've brought this guy up quite a bit, just mainly because of how athletic he is, but Noah Fant at 4,200. I think that would be my favorite bring back. Like, if you want to do if you want to go back to the well and do Taysom Hill, I don't hate just doing Taysom Hill, naked Taysom Hill, and then bringing it back with Fant on the other side. So we have some injury concerns in Denver right now. Jerry Jeudy questionable. I think that could.
How much is Gerald Everett? Because Tyler Higbee's didn't practice and is questionable.
We have him at 3,300. So they did a decent job pricing him out.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. I mean, if Higbee's out, I like that.
Sure.
I don't know.
Nope, that makes total sense. Like him, but yeah, you're right. I mean, Chalk should be paying up to Waller, Kelsey, cheap guys. I think Rudolph will probably be maybe have the most ownership out of that group. I don't know. They have a high total. He really has been mainly a blocking tight end. So
I don't think we've seen this spot very often, right? Like both guys out, Irv and Thielen, that would make it, again, we didn't expect Thielen to be out either. So that's where the price could just be wrong.
Right. But their base offense is 12 tight, you know, the double two tight end sets. So now does their base offense go to a three wide receiver set? Do they roll out both BC and Chad Beebe? Or do they stick with the two tight end? Kirkwood, I think you had the backup tight end that said.
Well, I mean, they've already Irv has been out before, and they just basically put Tyler Conklin into his Irv's role, at least from a snap share
percentage. What game was that again that he was out? Chicago?
It was 2 weeks ago.
I thought it was against the Bears, and I was going to say that it was like almost 60 snaps out of 70 for Rudolph with 63 yards, four catches.
They both. Like, no, I'm saying they're double tight end.
Oh, for sure. No, I know that. That's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying it makes at 2,800. I don't know if it's necessarily auto labeled as bad chalk or anything. I think it's a spot where it just was mispriced because they didn't expect Thielen to be out, and this is a good matchup too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got no problem with Rudolph at 2,800.
And he makes like some of the sickest catches.
I don't know
what
the upside is. I mean, there's not monster upside there, but like he's 2,800. I mean,
how many one-handed catches have you seen him make? Like, I feel like I've seen like three or four, like just amazing Kyle Rudolph one-handed catches. I think a couple of them ended up in a touchdown, but
not as many as you've seen. Sure, but because you're a Vikings fan.
I'm not a Vikings fan.
The other thing too, though, is the Adam Thielen touchdowns. Like he gets so many touchdowns that you got to pass this around. Like we said earlier with Cook, where we kind of talked about this, but how much can you give to Cook, the guy that already takes over everything else? So like, I think Rudolph is actually interesting at 2,800. It just depends what everybody else thinks here. Yeah. Go from there. And then Firkser is like the worst version of Rudolph, right? For $200 less. He's been doing basically the same thing. I was looking up some numbers, and it's like, yeah, one big game against Houston way back when, but the rest of the games were pretty weak. So,
all right, you got to choose one guy, ownership wise, who you're gonna have more of between Kelsey Waller. I'll plant my flag on Waller for sure.
Oh, I'm on Kelsey, not even close, and I think he's gonna be underowned. I think people will go to Waller.
Kirkwood?
Yeah, I don't know. I like them both. Kelsey would be my lean, just because I think like there's more room for, like, this is just a high profile game of, you know, him against Tom Brady. I just think this the Kelsey role is in full effect.
Yeah, I just think when Sammy Watkins comes into play though, like, he runs a lot of those underneath type of routes, and I think that hurts Kelsey overall. I don't know. I'm definitely bearish on Kelsey this week.
Yeah. What is Kelsey, like, five of his last six games are 20 plus? Yeah. Up to 30 in
all without
cases?
Watkins?
Sure. But it's like
Bucks,
it's 27 just who they use.
DVOA versus tight end.
What did Watkins play this year?
Bucks,
I want to just
Bucks also really stopped the run.
Sammy's been out for the last 5 weeks during Kelsey's, like, explosions.
Yeah, Sammy sucks, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take us home with our favorite stacks. Mine, I'll start it off. It's easy. It's
Tua.
I mean, that could be my favorite.
Do your chalky one and then go the Tua one.
Yeah, we know Josh Allen and Diggs.
I mean, Herbert is going to – I mean, Josh Allen, Diggs is going to be is obvious. And you can – might as well just throw Gabriel Davis in there and double stack it just because there's 3K. That one, I still am the – I love Herbert. You know, I'm fine. I would also – I think this is a good Mike Williams week. But And it will be interesting because it'll be interesting to see how they use Tre'Davious White against Keenan Allen, because Allen playing plays the majority of, or he plays about 50% from the slot, and White just really doesn't go in there. But like, it just, I don't know. I just can't see them not using him against him. So I'm not sure how that one plays out, but like, so I like both of those guys. I mean, I'm really bullish on this game. I think this game's going to go nuts. And I don't care if it's chalky, I'm going to figure out ways. So that would be my number two. And then the last one will just be Tua to Devontae. You can also use Gesicki if you want. But really Devontae would be my preferred. And would there be a run back? I don't know. There wasn't. Mims would be the run back, I guess. But maybe if Darnold's back, maybe just take maybe Crowder.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. My stack. I'll stick with the Giants Bengals. I'll go Daniel Jones. I think I don't mind skinny stacks. Yeah, I think a skinny stack here makes sense in over 1,000 person. So if I do a skinny stack, it'll just be Darius Slayton. And then I'm good with bringing it back with either Higgins or Boyd. And then like Ian will say 100 to 500 person, I'm just going to just stack up that game and hope it shoots. It'll be a double stack. So we'll say Slayton and Shepard, and then I'll bring it back with both Boyd and Higgins. And I mean, all those wide receivers you're getting for 5K or less. So I guess Shepard's 5,100. So Tambo, what do you got?
I like Mahomes, Kelsey, the obvious one. I said at the top, I like Allen and Diggs, but Mahomes, Kelsey is the one there, and you can run it back with one guy. We went through wide receiver because we've been rambling so long, but I think Antonio Brown, back-to-back weeks now where, you know, Tom's showing him some love. So I think you could have Mahomes, Kelsey, and get.
I mean, this, yeah, like Brady loves Brown. It's crazy. He offers up his house.
I'm on board. It's obvious now. And like now that we've got more weeks of them getting going and getting prepared, but, and also all the shit about Brady not being able, missing, like he's like 0 for 22 on his deep passes or something. Like, I mean, this is a marquee game for them. So yeah, that's, he's my number one bring back for sure.
Yeah. And I liked one more thing you said earlier with this Josh Allen stack is I like the Williams on the other side of that, because I do think normally I've been the one shitting on this all season about these matchups and shadows and things, but Tre'Davious White is the type of guy that's going to be like, wait, you're going to tell me that Keenan Allen is like Devontae Adams or Michael Thomas now? Let me show you that he's not. And I think there could be a situation there where he wants to prove it and try and get out there and get even aggressive with them enough to piss them off. And that's an $8,000 popular play that I could go off of there. So I like your call with Mike Williams in that stack. The other one is just pretty gross, but like I said, I'm going to do it. I am going to play Mike Glennon with probably Kareem Hunt on the other side or Chubb, doesn't matter. And then I like, you know, Keelan Cole with if LaVisca plays. Like I said, you can just run it up so cheap.
Can we get a Landry game?
No, he's never going to play a good game again. It's never happening.
Boys, but I just found it. I just found it.
We always figure it out after, and we were about to end.
I cannot believe I didn't bring this up, but you got Teddy Bridgewater playing Minnesota in Minnesota. I mean, this is it. You pair Teddy Bridgewater with obviously two of his guys. I mean, this narrative has got to hit. Samuel,
I like it regardless of C-Mac, right?
I mean, Teddy coming back to Minnesota where he just blew out all of his, like, everything. I mean, this is going to hit 100%. And then you bring it back with Jefferson and Delvin. This is a great game stack. Now, it's a pricey game stack, but we know what Minnesota wants to do with the ball, right? So that you're eating the chalk with Delvin and Jefferson. You can even throw in one of your boys of BC, Chad Beebe. Yep. And
get
then
in there if you need to save some money.
How about Jefferson or Delvin?
This is the game stack.
Not
boys.
Jefferson.
Narrative. Buy it. Buy it. Let's do it.
Or Rudolph. Or Rudolph works there too.
Yep. Yep. Oh, there's so many ways to do it too. I like it.
All right. We're all right. In Minnesota.
We good to go? We've rambled for too long on this holiday day after
Black Friday, baby. Hey, by the way, I was just on MyBookie, and I put down a $10 bet on Ben Roethlisberger over 100 total passing yards. And I got it for minus 110 because they're doing Black Friday deals over on MyBookie. So, oh, it's great.
All right.
Okay, man. Enjoy your Manscaped, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, that's a wrap. So this has been the RGDFS Tournament Takes podcast, and we'll catch you next week.